Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Luke, the first chapter, in verse 28. It says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one.'" Praise God. He said, "Rejoice." Well, why should she rejoice? Because she's a highly favored one. Do we have any highly favored ones in here? Well, if you really believe that, what would you do? Rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. Lift your voice to God. Praise God. Express your excitement. Express your praise and thanksgiving to God because you have favor with God. And just like Mary, through the Lord Jesus, you and I have favor with God. Say, "I got favor." So the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. You know, a lot of folks would be surprised about how favored they are by God, and how blessed they are by God, if an angel came in and told him so. The angel comes in and tells you, "Wow, you're amazing. You got favor with God. You are blessed." And she's like, "What in the world are you talking about? I mean, you know, I'm just this little nobody over here, just sitting back here. Nobody really, you know, acknowledges and recognizes me very much. And I mean, and I don't have a whole lot of money, and I don't have a whole lot of connections with folks. I mean, I'm not really anything." And a lot of folks judge themselves based on how things appear in the natural, or based on how other people are treating them. And so they'd be shocked if an angel came in and said, "You're the one. You are so blessed. Oh man, you got favor with God. All of heaven is looking at you right now. You got heaven's attention right now. You are a somebody with God." So a lot of folks would be shocked. They'd be, huh? I mean, she was troubled by this. This kind of knocked her off her cart. And, you know, she didn't understand this greeting. So then the angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." He reiterates it again. Don't be upset. Don't be worried. I'm telling you, you have favor with God. And that word favor means approval. You got God's approval. He has put his stamp of approval on you. It also means support. You've got God's support. "I haven't had a whole lot of people really support me." You got God's support. You got God backing you up. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, if you're in the military, maybe overseas, and you're in a combat zone, and you're pinned down, and there's machine gun fire going on all over the place, and some soldiers around you are sitting there, and they're saying, "Man, we need air support. We need some air support. We're going to get killed." And I thought, you know, if I was in that foxhole and everybody's crying out for air support, I'd be able to say, "Wait a second. I got something a whole lot better than the U.S. Air Force. I got God's support. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to come out of this thing. It's going to be all right. Because I got God's support." I thought, what would you do if you knew you had that kind of support? I mean, you might just jump up and just run right into the fire. Just run right into the thick of it. Just knowing, I got God's support. I got God's protection all around me. I got favor with God. I got God's approval. And as we talked about last time, Mary discovered this. Now, the way you would discover this, that you would know that you have favor with God, is that you would get a revelation from God. And the primary number one way that God's going to give revelation to us is through the scriptures, is through the word of God. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, they had the Old Testament, they had the Old Covenant, they had the scriptures. And so perhaps she looked at a scripture like the one over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7, where it says, "Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works." He's already approved of you. He has already accepted you. He's saying, go ahead and enjoy your life. You got God's approval. You don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to try to work for it. We're not out trying to get it. We don't have to be in doubt about it, wondering if God is really for us. Or is he actually against us? Is that why my chariot wheel broke? Is that why my horse got sick? You know, maybe it's because God is, you know, God's not really pleased with me. Maybe I don't really have his approval. When we get all those doubts out and we know that we have favor with God, that we are accepted by him, that we have his approval, man, what can we do? We can go eat our bread with joy. Hallelujah. We can have happy hour. We can drink our grape juice with a merry heart. Amen. For God has already accepted your works. And so perhaps Mary came across that scripture or a scripture like it. That's from the Old Testament. And she got a hold of it. She got a revelation that I got God's approval. I'm accepted by him. I have favor with God. But of course, you know, a lot of times we get revelation from God and God does tell us things and we stand up boldly and say, I'm more than a conqueror. But how many people know it's another thing when an angel appears to you and looks at it and says, you are more than a conqueror. You're like, who, me? Because it's another whole level of reality, of revelation. So even though she had this revelation that brought about this greater revelation, which was the coming in of the angel declaring to her that she had favor, she probably got this from the word of God right here, just by looking at the scriptures and seeing that she's accepted by him. And what does that do? It causes you to drop your defenses before God. And she probably just opened her heart up to God at that point, and that's what brought about this visitation from God. She had this visitation because she had already discovered favor, and more than likely she discovered it in the scriptures, that she's accepted by him. And so her defenses came down, and what happened? The Holy Spirit was able to move upon her life in a very special way. And a great miracle was able to take place in her life. And notice here again, back in Luke, in chapter 1, in verse 28, and having come, and the angel said to rejoice, highly favored, everybody say favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you. Everybody say blessed. Blessed are you among women. Notice Mary had favor with God, and Mary was blessed. She was blessed. And you'll find that having favor and being blessed are interconnected. When you're blessed, you have favor. When you have favor, you are blessed. Sounds good to me, doesn't it? And that's something the Lord's been just, it's been coming up in my spirit, just praying about that. And when I pray for the congregation, pray for myself, you know, it's just, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for the blessing upon our life. Well, with that blessing comes favor. As we get into this teaching, you'll see that the two are interconnected with each other. Because, again, like we said, when she came into the understanding that she had favor with God, it opened her up to have intimacy with God, with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He is the blessing. As you'll see over here in Galatians chapter 3, we need to know how blessed we are. We need to know what kind of favor we have. It's not just limited to Mary. Mary was a vehicle by which God worked through to bring the Messiah, Jesus, into your life. And by Jesus coming into your life, now you are highly favored. And you are blessed among all other people. Through the Lord, through your faith in Jesus. You have favor and you are blessed. Galatians, the third chapter, and in verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How many people know the opposite of being blessed is being cursed? And I got good news for you. Christ has redeemed you. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is everything that is a curse. Everything that is a curse is included in that curse of the law. And Christ has redeemed us from it. So if He redeemed us from it, you believe that, then you can't be cursed. Man, I just love that. I just love knowing you can't curse me. I mean, you can get all the witches and warlocks together in the whole nation, you know. You can get some of the greatest voodoo people over in Africa. I mean, you can get some witches and warlocks. Just bring them all in. They can have a big stuffed animal. Not a stuffed animal, but a dummy of me. And they can be sticking it with pins and doing all kinds of things to it and cursing me. And I just feel so sorry for them. Because you can't curse whom God has already blessed. Hallelujah. So I just know it's just all going to backfire on them. Because all those idle words got to go somewhere. And it's going to come back on those that curse me. That's why He said to Abraham, I'll curse those who curse you. I'll bless those who bless you. See, they curse you. It's too late. I've already blessed you. So the curse is going to come back on them. And they'll be cursed with the curse that they cursed you with. So you just can't curse me. See, I can't be cursed. Amen. If somebody curses at you in traffic, just roll down your window and say, too late. Too late. Bless you. I'm too blessed to be cursed. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid of any man's curse or any devil's curse when you got God's blessing already on your life. Man, we got to get a hold of this. Glory be to God. So again, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It was a heavy price that was paid so that you could be blessed, to get you free from being cursed. Jesus became a curse for everything in Deuteronomy 28, the entire curse of the law, every curse came upon Him so that you could be blessed. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Well, what is this blessing? He goes on, he's not finished. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you see, he shows you right there when talking about the blessing, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about receiving the Spirit of God upon your life. Now, most define the word blessing by describing the effects of the word. Happiness, things you own. They'll look at money and they'll say, oh, that's a blessing. They'll look at material things and say, oh, I'm blessed, or that person's blessed by looking at material things. But all these things are just the effect of the blessing. They aren't actually the blessing itself. The Spirit is the blessing. When you have the Spirit of God, you have the blessing. Isn't that powerful? Because think about it. Every good thing comes from Him. Every good thing is in Him. So when you have Him, you have every good. You have the source of every good thing. He is the source of it all. Of every good thing. So the blessing isn't the thing. It's the source of the thing, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Just like a lot of times people, they describe the wind by looking at the effects of the wind. They look and they say, they look outside and say, wow, it's really windy. Do you see the wind? Wow, look at the wind. And they really don't see the wind. You can't see the wind, just like you can't see the Spirit of God. You can't see the blessing of God. But you can see the effects of it. And people say, man, do you see the wind? And what they're actually seeing is trees bending. But they're not seeing the wind, they're seeing the effects of it. So we have to understand that money, material things, good things are not the blessing. The blessing is the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God, good things come as a result. Good things happening is the effect or the byproduct of the blessing, the Spirit of God upon your life. That's why the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. The riches aren't the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Let me read this from another translation, the NIV, the New International Version. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth and adds no trouble to it. So notice, this is just what the blessing does. That's why we don't have to go after wealth and riches. We don't have to go after material things. We go after the blessing. We open ourselves up to the blessing, just like Mary did. We open ourselves up to the blessing of God. And as we yield to the blessing of God, as we believe that we are blessed, highly favored of God, then we're going to see the effects of it. We're going to see the effects of it. The trees are going to start moving. Things are going to start happening. One of the effects is wealth. Wealth, because the blessing, notice again, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. It just brings, that's what it does. It brings wealth. It brings us into prosperity. How many want to come into prosperity? Well, how's it going to happen? You got to work harder. You got to get a better job. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, you got to yield to the Spirit of God. You got to know Him. You got to believe in the blessing and then follow it. Obey it. Cooperate with the blessing, and the blessing will bring the wealth. You don't have to go get the wealth. The blessing will bring the wealth. The blessing will bring you into prosperity. By nature, this word blessing or blessed means to endow with power for prosperity and success. When you actually look up the word, and I encourage you to do it, it's easy to do in our day and age. You can go look at the Greek language of the word blessing and blessed, and go over there in the Hebrew and get yourself a concordance. Look these things up online and you'll see what it means. It means prosperity. Prosperity. In the Old Testament, it means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity. How many want to live long? Live a long, strong, healthy, happy life. The blessing will do it for you. The blessing will do it for you. But you see, we've got to have faith in the blessing. Not just keep looking at our works, look at our hard works, look at what we're doing, what we have to do. No, there is something we have to do. We have to cooperate with the Lord. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We got to keep our focus on Him, that He is upon our on our life to cause all these other things to be what? Added. Added. All these other things will be added unto us. If we pursue the things, then we're gonna miss our purpose. We're going to miss our purpose. And we're not going to walk in the blessing of God. So we have to recognize that we have favor with God. Having favor with God opens us up to the Holy Spirit so that we receive the Spirit and are now blessed of God. And if blessed of God, then we are empowered by God for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, etc. And all the good things that come along with a blessed life. If it's good, it's a part of being blessed, and it belongs to you if you have the Spirit of God upon your life. So a lot of times, we just use the word blessed kind of religiously. It's just kind of more of a form, having no real power. People just use it as a greeting, Hey, bless you. Good to see you. Bless you. Good to see you. Somebody sneezes, God bless you. So they just kind of speak that forth. This is kind of, I guess it's the polite thing to do, make them feel better about sneezing. I had heard, I don't know where I heard it from, but I had heard that actually originated back in a day where people were very superstitious. And so if somebody sneezed, that means a devil was coming out of them. Now that's not the Bible. Thank God. I don't know how many times I sneezed this morning. Sneezed a couple of demons came out. That's why I feel so good today. A couple of demons left me. Praise God. And so that was their way of, I guess, make it so the devil couldn't come back in. They say, bless you. Kind of shut the door on the devil from getting back in there, But however it came, people don't really think about what that word means. Now, I'm all for blessing people when they sneeze. Praise God. We can bestow the power to be prosperous and successful on people through our words because we ourselves are blessed. We ourselves have been given this power. We ourselves have been put in a place where we can prosper supernaturally, not just naturally. Amen. Now, to be cursed would have things working against you. You got something working against you. We see that's the work of the spirit of the devil. See, the Spirit of God is the blessing. The spirit of the devil is the curse. He is the curse. The curse, just like the blessing, is a living entity. It's living. It's not just a thing. It's a spirit. So the blessing is the Spirit of God, and the curse is the spirit of the devil, demons, evil spirits. And evil spirits will always be trying to break things down, trying to destroy you, trying to keep you from success, always trying to get in your way, trying to rob you, right? Jesus said the thief comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. See, he's the curse. That's what he is. That's who he is. He's the curse. And that's what he comes. When he comes, and he's a curse to people. So when you see things falling apart, things not going right, understand it's because you're in a world that has demons in it. And there are demons trying to interfere with your success. But I got news for you. The blessing of the Holy Spirit is far greater than the curse that the devil is. Amen. So thank God if we will have faith in the blessing, we can trample on all the works of the devil. We can trample on the devil. and thus trample on every curse. Trample on every curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse. See, that's why you go to the Old Testament, and when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were getting bit by these serpents, poisonous snakes were biting them, and they were dying by the thousands. People were dying because snakes were biting them. And it was a plague. And they cried out to Moses. They were crying out to God for help. And Moses went to God, and God told him what to do. He said, make a pole and make a bronze serpent, the image of a serpent. Put it on the pole. And he said, hold that up. And as many as look with a continual, constant gaze upon that serpent on a pole, they'll be healed. Well, later on, I think it's in John 3, Jesus talks about how he is to be lifted up just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He must be lifted up on the cross. Now, we understand the serpent is a type of sin and Satan. That's what the serpent in the Word of God is a type of, sin and Satan. And Jesus was saying that he was going to be just like that serpent that Moses lifted up on a pole. See, what Moses was doing was he was doing something prophetically of what was to come, of what the Messiah was to become and do for us. That through Jesus hanging on that cross, those who look upon him with a steady gaze, they keep their focus, their faith fixed on him, they'll be healed. They'll be delivered from the serpents. They'll be delivered from sin. They'll be delivered from Satan. They'll be delivered from sickness. They'll be delivered from premature death. If they could keep their eyes fixed on the serpent on the pole or Jesus on the cross. See, Jesus became our sin. He became sinfulness. He became that serpent. He became that snake. He became a curse for us. He didn't just take the curse. He became a curse for us. Isn't that what we just read? Christ has redeemed us from the cross, having become a curse, having become a devil for us, having become something evil for us. Sin's evil, isn't it? Devil's evil, isn't it? Jesus became that. Think about that. I mean, we're talking about his great love for us. You talk about favor. Look what he did for you. Look what he has done for us. He became a curse for us. He became that serpent. He became that curse. He became something evil. Why? So that all that would be left is the blessing. Because if you take away the devil and you take away the sin and you take away the sickness and you take away the curse, all that's left is the blessing. Praise God. I'm too blessed to be cursed. Everything turns around for my good. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Doesn't matter what comes against me. Glory to God, I'm going to turn out blessed. I mean, you read that in Deuteronomy 28. You know, talk about the blessed life. Doesn't matter if a whole army comes against you. They might come against you one way, but they'll flee 10 other different ways. That's what it says. They'll be scattered. They'll be running in every other kind of direction. How many times has that happened to the devil in my life? Oh, my goodness. He has come with his premeditated, fully planned attacks against my life. They weren't just little things that he threw out there. There were some things that happened that I knew they were fully calculated and planned by hell. These were his schemings. And here he comes with all these works. Again, this big onslaught, you know, just when you thought everything was great and you were living on a bed of roses. All of a sudden, here comes hell. And you recognize, here comes this attack. But oh, thank God we're blessed. This is going to be exciting. Here they come. We're going to watch them flee in 10 different directions. I really can't wait to get to heaven and see the video. I'm going to say, can we go back and watch that? When, you know, back in 1999 was great. Can we go back to 1999? Let's pull that video up, you know. November, yeah. Let's pull that one up. Pull up that trial and test. Yeah, we got it labeled right here. That was something else. That was so impressive. In fact, that's one of our most watched videos up here in heaven. The Apostle Paul thinks that one's his favorite. He likes watching your escape out of that one and what you did to those demons, man, and how your faith just unleashed the powers of heaven and just drove that curse back out into the sea. Whew, hallelujah. I mean, exciting stuff. Amen. Some of you are more like James Bond than you realize. I mean, your life is very adventurous. I mean, it's very exciting. And I mean, you got demons flying out of windows, and you got all kinds of supernatural help that you pull out, and it's just amazing escapes from death. So many amazing escapes from death. But you'll see it all when we get over to the other side. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But you see, in the natural, we don't see all the excitement. In the natural, we just see pain. We see a symptom. We see circumstances, and we see we prayed, and we see, oh, it went away. It stopped. The situation changed. And we go, oh, praise God. Thank God. Yeah, yeah, I was a little concerned about that. Thank you, Jesus. Meanwhile, it's like, heaven's like, wow. That was like World War III right there. And you nailed it in one day. Glory to God. 6-day war, you know. 1 week, you took care of it. It was all wiped out, all those adversaries. This is true stuff. This is true. This is the Christian life. This is an adventurous life that you and I are living. That's why we're going to enter heaven as the heroes of faith. And we're going to join the other heroes of faith that have gone before us. Those that lived by faith. They walked by faith and not by sight. We're going to join these great heroes in heaven, having won great victories for ourselves as well. And there's a lot more I could say about that, especially even when you look at the life of Abraham. Here it's talking about the blessing of Abraham. I mean, really, if you were there on the ground in Abraham's day, I mean, he was a farmer. He was a rancher, right? He took care of cattle, you know. He seemed like a pretty prosperous guy, you know. Had a lot of money and things. Okay, we see all that. Great religious man, very nice. This man has changed the world through his faith. We're here today because of this man's faith. Nobody on the ground back in his day would have ever known that. Not, Abraham didn't even really have, I'm sure, did not have a concept of what he sees now. He must be looking and going, I had no idea. I mean, I knew it's important to obey God. I had no idea that my obedience put us in a position to change the whole. I mean, okay, we had a kid. All right, we got in faith, and we weren't supposed to have children. Sarah was barren, we're past the age, not supposed to happen, and we got in faith, and it happened. And people just think that's the extent of the miracle. Wow, look at that miracle. They had a child. And little did they know that through that faith and having that child, now the Messiah was able to come into the world, the Lord Jesus, and save the human race. They didn't know that. Even Paul, the apostle who wrote so much of the New Testament, didn't have a full concept of the things he was writing. He didn't even have a full concept of it. And things were looking very bleak towards the end of his life. I mean, here he's in jail. A lot of the people that got saved and we're on fire for God now have turned against him. They're not a part of the kingdom of God anymore. They've abandoned the gospel. They've gotten over into error. All kinds of things. I mean, it looks depressing from where he is seated in the natural. But now he looks and he thinks, wow, what an effect. What an effect that letter I wrote to the church at Corinth has had on the world. That letter I wrote to Ephesus, had no idea that it was going to go this far. I understood God gave me revelation and I was given the responsibility of the gospel. And I understand that, but I didn't understand how far this was going to go. And it's the same thing with your life. As you obey him, as you follow him, as you take your place and get what you think is a little victory. A little victory here, a little victory here, but you're still alive. And God's doing things through your victories. He's doing things through your life. And it's affecting lives. Amen? And we're going to see even greater things. We're going to have even a greater effect on people's lives. as we continue to live and carry out the plan of God and understand the blessing. And understand that we are blessed and we are highly favored by God. Can you say amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 12. He says, the Lord said to Abraham, verse 1, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Isn't that nice? God bless you, Abraham. We got this real sweetie, you know, powerless idea of what God's saying there. I will bless you. And we're thinking God's just saying, you know, I'm going to be nice to you. You know, I'm going to do something good for you. No, I'm going to bless you. What do you mean? I'm going to endow you with power to prosper and be successful and fruitful. You're going to have longevity. You're going to be indestructible. Indestructible. That's what it means by God saying, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. You can't be much of a blessing if you're not blessed. In fact, you can only be a blessing to the degree you understand that you are blessed. So it's very important you understand that you're blessed, because you ain't going to get much done and do much for anybody else if you don't know you are. But when you understand I'm blessed, I got the Midas touch. You know what? I touch turns to gold, man. I'm blessed. I'm destined to prosper. I'm destined to be. Don't judge me according to the flesh, man. I am destined for success. I don't have to worry about my needs being met, because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because I'm blessed. So I don't have to worry about those things. When you understand you don't have to worry about money and things like that, then you can start giving it. You can start helping others. You can start spreading the love around. You can be a blessing. Someone that empowers other people to be prosperous and successful in life. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. And again, I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Think about that. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, someone says, well, that's great for Abraham, but that sure isn't me. Well, now, wait a second. What God said to Abraham right there is actually the gospel. The gospel. Does the gospel belong to you? Yes. Is the gospel for you? Yes. Well, what God just said right there is gospel. It's not just Abraham. It's gospel. Back to Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You're right there with Abraham. Because it's the gospel. What is the gospel? What is our gospel? Our gospel is that in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations shall be blessed. That's the gospel. Think about that. See, Jesus came that the blessing of Abraham might be upon us, so that in you, all the nations, all the families of the earth can be blessed. In other words, you become the point man, the point woman for the blessing. In other words, it's through the church, it's through individual believers like you and I, that God is going to affect the entire world. It's through you, it's through me, that we're going to change the world. I said, we're going to change the world. I mean, I know we haven't even gotten to phase three yet, but just hang in there. It's already happening, but we are going and it's already happening. We're changing the world. Man, we are so powerful. We're so blessed. Do you understand this is the gospel? This isn't just Abraham. So now please, please become like Abraham and believe. Come like Abraham, put yourself in Abraham's position. Understand, in the same way God said that to Abraham, or in the same way the angel appeared and said it to Mary, get a hold of that. This isn't just, it's just the scriptures, it's just the Bible. I know I should read my Bible. I'm trying to read through my Bible this year. This is like an angel coming, and this is even better than that. This is even better than a word from heaven that Abraham got through a prophetic anointing. We got it in writing. God has said this in writing and given it to you. So this is even better than what Mary had. This is better than what Abraham. And they believed. And because they believed, there was a fulfillment of the things that God said. So we need to be just like them. And we need to recognize what we're hearing today is actually God talking to us. Amen. This is a visitation. I said, this is a visitation from God. God is here. Heaven is here. God's talking to us. And you got to just pitch, just like if you, oh, it's an angel. Oh, it's Pastor Stephen. Oh, it's Pastor Stephen. I wonder when he's going to wrap it up today. I wonder if you do that to the angel. Michael, listen, the angel appeared. You go, oh, Michael, is this going to be a long one? You know, Michael the archangel. Is this going to be a long one, Michael? I really had somewhere I needed to be. Did you do that to Michael? Then don't do it to me. You wouldn't do it to Michael. You don't do it to me. You understand? Because I'm a messenger, anointed of God, highly favored to come and tell you. You're highly favored and you're blessed. Hallelujah. Capiche? Capiche? Good. We got to see it just like that. Just like Abraham, however God spoke it to him. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be so great. It's going to affect all the nations, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. And Abraham went, all right, I believe this. Now, I don't know how this is all going to happen. My wife's barren. We're getting older, but okay. And he believed. He believed God. And we believe God. Somebody say, God's talking to me today. From his word. Through the anointing. He's speaking to me. I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. The devil's going to keep trying to make you feel cursed. He's going to do things to try to make you feel you are not blessed. You are cursed. Look at this. Look at that. Feel this. Feel that. And I'm telling you, what God says is greater than whatever you see or whatever you might feel or what might ever have been. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are destined to be a world changer. It's God doing it through you. Now again, we're not going to fully see how that all comes about until we get over to the other side. But we'll see some things. Amen. And I'm expecting us to really start seeing a lot of things, actually. I'm expecting to start to see a lot of the effects of the blessing. It just seems to be what the Spirit of God's saying to me. It's time to start seeing the harvest. It's time to start seeing the effects of believing God, believing the Bible, believing the blessing, believing, having faith in God. Abraham believed. God said these things to him. He believed. He lived his life by faith. And it took a while. It took a while for even Isaac to be born. What was it, like 20-something years, right? He was in his 70s when God said this to him. He was 99. It wasn't until he was 100 years old before he actually had Isaac. 3 decades. Think about that. Before that actually happened, but it happened. And We can say slowly but surely, through his faithfulness, he grew in his faith. He grew in his understanding. And thus he became more and more useful to God. And then God began to be able to do more and more in and through his life. The Bible says in chapter 13 of Genesis, this is just the next chapter. Chapter 12, God says, I'm going to bless you. And we saw from Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. That's spiritual wealth. Oh, okay. Genesis 13, he got told you're blessed in 12. He believed God. And then chapter 13 says in verse 2, Abraham was very rich. The blessing of the Lord makes what? Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Somebody says, you know, I'm not covetous and I really don't care much about money. I don't care. I don't need to be rich. Right, exactly. Because you don't care about doing much for God. Because you don't care much about spreading the gospel. Because you don't care much about being a blessing. I understand that. That's why you need to repent. And you need to get that right with God. It takes money to get the gospel. I got news for you. I don't know how many of you would be here this morning if you heard about a great church that was meeting in the woods back here around a bonfire covered with mosquitoes. I don't know how many of you come to church and say, I feel God's leading me to go back in the woods over here. I hear they're having a great church service. I hear the Spirit of God moves. I don't know how many of you would be here right now. I don't think it would be happening. We wouldn't have our online audience, right? And if I had to literally write my books with pen and ink and I didn't have a computer, I just don't know if it would happen, guys. And Paul did it. I understand that. I just don't know. He was a good man. I don't know how he did it. Don't know how he did it. I need a computer. Something that spells for me, erases for me, you know, the whole thing. You just save it. It's nice. It takes money. But people that don't have much of a vision, I just want my needs, man. I don't need much. I just need my little. Yeah, it's all about you. I understand that. So you don't need money. I understand because you're living a selfish life. But you need to repent of that because that's not God's destiny for you. He's created you to be have an effect on the world. See, he's calling you to affect the world, to take the gospel to the whole world. See, he's calling you to do that. So that's why he wants to empower you to prosper. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich so that we can carry out this great commission. It's not about us. It's about glorifying God. Giving him the best of the land. Amen? Giving him our best. Get the best so we can give the best to our God. Let's get the best sacrifices. Let's have the best temples. Let's have the best of everything. And let's give it all up to God. Come on. Amen. Oh, man. Let's give it up to God. That's what we want to do. So, Lord, say, Lord, thank you for the blessing that makes me rich. Adds no sorrow with it. See, you try to get riches, you're going to add a lot of sorrow. You're going to lose your family, and there's going to be a divorce, and there's going to be all these problems because you're never at home, and you're doing all this, and you're doing this, and you burn yourself, you're going to die prematurely, and you see people, they save all their money. If they finally reach retirement, they drop dead because they wore themselves out with stress. A lot of sorrow added to it. A lot of wicked people got wealth, but they got a lot of sorrows too. Yeah. A lot of that's hidden. They turn the lights off. You don't see that. But a lot of troubles, a lot of problems. Can you say amen? Yes. But oh, I like this. Problem-free money. Yes. Problem-free wealth. Yeah. Why? Because we are receiving it not for ourselves, but for the glory of the King. To him belongs all the glory. It's all from him, for him, and to him. To him are all things. It's from him, and my friend, it is to him. A lot of folks say, yeah, it's from him, but then it stops there. No, it needs to be to him. And that's how you get the from him. You get the from. See, people are trying to get the from him. They're trying to get the from him, but they don't have the to him. See, they just have the from him to me. See, that's nice. No. You channel, you funnel, you conduit from him to you. through you. See, it's not to you, it's through you. You got to get a hold of that. Not to you. It's through you. It's to you, Lord, to the Lord. You get that? So it's just the next chapter over. Now, we don't know how many years that is, but bless God. God said, I'm going to bless you, and the blessing of the Lord made him rich. What in the world are we waiting for? Somebody say, money cometh. To me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. So God says, I'm going to endow you with power to be successful and fruitful. And that's exactly what began to happen in his life. If you come to chapter 21 of Genesis, you see just a little bit of the kind of, we just saw the wealth, but you see the kind of favor that Abraham walked in. Because remember, favor and the blessing, they go together. And so God says, I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be great. What's that? That's favor. You're going to be approved by people. People are going to look at you and they're going to listen to you. Could you imagine that? People are going to listen to you. People will pay attention to you. Now, primarily, it won't be everybody, because not even everybody listened to Jesus, and he was blessed, wasn't he? Not everybody's going to listen to you. But I like what the psalmist said. He said, those who fear you will be happy or glad when they see me. See, those that have the fear of God in them will be happy when they see me. So not everybody might be happy to see you. You know, the devil surely isn't going to be happy to see you. Demon-possessed people were not happy to see Jesus. Ah! Right? They start crying and screaming and coming out and running when Jesus came on the scene. They weren't happy to see Jesus. The demon-possessed aren't going to be happy to see you. Good. I like that. It helps us to locate where people are. When we walk in the blessing of God, when we walk in the favor of God, those who, they might not be saved, but they have within them a fear of God. And those who fear him will be glad when they see you. In other words, you'll have favor with them. And then you can talk to them. See, then you can help them. Then you can be a blessing. You can be a blessing to these people. So here in Genesis chapter 21, we see some of the favor that Abraham had. Genesis 21, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech of Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Wow. Notice the commander of the army saying this. God is with you. You got Abimelech, the king, and his commander of the army. This is a military man. This is a ruler of a nation. And they come to the herdsman. They come to this farmer and says, God is with you in all that you do. How do they know that? Because they see the effects of the blessing of God on his life. It was that strong that kings took notice of it. Commanders of armies took notice of it. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. In other words, be nice to me. Don't hurt me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the fear of God, the fear of Abraham was on the surrounding nations. That's why nobody ever dared attack Abraham. He was in a foreign land. Remember, he left his home. He went out to a foreign land. But nobody dared mess with him because he was surrounded by favor as with a shield. He had that shield of favor all around his life. People feared him. People did not want to mess with him. And the blessing of God was so strong upon his life, people could see the effects of it. Friend, this isn't just for Abraham. This is for all those who believe with Abraham. If we'll believe just like Abraham believed, that's how it should be for the church today. That's how it should be for the body of Christ today, the effect that we should be having on the world. But yet we got so many Christians walking around, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace, I'm just a worm, I'm so unworthy. Meanwhile, God's made you worthy through the blood of his son, Jesus. He's made you the righteousness of God, made you sit together with him in heavenly places, made you a part of the royal family, the household of faith. But see, we're not seeing that kind of effect on the world because most of the body of Christ, they don't know. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And so what do? We keep struggling with stupid things. We keep struggling with the stupidest things. We keep going back to the stupidest things because we think we're stupid. People think they're stupid. You think you're stupid. That's why you keep doing stupid things. I can't stop doing it because you think you're stupid. That's why you do stupid things. Get your mind renewed. You're blessed. You're highly favored. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now stand up like a man. Stand up like a woman of God. Stop walking through this world and recognize whatever the devil throws at you, you just look back at it and say, I'm above that. I don't think so, devil. I'm way above that. I'm not struggling with being a demon. I'm so far above that, man. I'm seated in Christ Jesus himself. I got the Spirit of the Holy God on my life. I am clean. I am holy. I am set apart. You can't touch this. And I don't want to touch that. See, people touching and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, you're so far above it. You're so better than that. I said, you're so much better than that. We're not going to see you struggle through this life. I'm struggling. We're not going to struggle. We're going to strive. Stride through life. We're going to soar. Walk in victory. Because we got it. We're just like Abraham. Well, we got is even better than Abraham. I said, we got it even better than Abraham. Are you seeing this? Yes. Praise God forever. Again, we don't want to focus on getting things. We want to focus on the fact that we're blessed. That's what we focus on. I'm blessed, which means I have the nature and power and ability of God upon my life to be a blessing. I'm ready to be a blessing. I'm ready today to be a blessing. I got what it takes to be a blessing today. Start using what you got now. Stand up. Stop being afraid of losing it. But if I give it away, I'm afraid I might not have any more. Stop it. Stop it. You're blessed. You're blessed and you're ready now to be a blessing. Right now you are. You are empowered to do it. Now start exercising your faith in that. And start reaching out and start being the supernatural blessing that you are. And you watch how it increases in your life. Because that's what's going to happen. But we have to exercise this truth by faith. Because faith without works is dead. It's just dead. We don't want to have dead faith. We want living and active faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the word today.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.